Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Bird. I'm so excited that you would spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And so if you're new to us, we've been in a series we've just called the Purpose Trilogy. And your purpose is to love God, love people, and live on a mission. And so really all that is love God, love people, live on mission. That's the great commandment and the great commission smushed together. And that is your purpose and my purpose. And so today we're going to talk about the great commission, that God has this great mission for you individually and us corporately. And so we're going to be in Matthew 28. But before we do, I need to tell you the story about Artis Erbe. Artis Erbe played in the National Hockey League. He was a teammate of mine with the Carolina Hurricanes. He was a goaltender. He was from Riga, Latvia. And he was the Wayne Gretzky of Latvia. And so Artis was just a great guy, hard worker. One offseason, he was back in Latvia, and he was training. And he has a very large dog. The dog named is Rambo. That's going to be significant. And as Artis was working out, doing some sit-ups, he inadvertently startled the dog that was sleeping. The dog was so scared in just this moment of confusion, he bit Artis on his hand, severing ligaments and doing extensive damage. Now you know why he called him Rambo, because he drew first blood. All right, I couldn't resist it. And so Artis had to take himself to the hospital. He rushed to the hospital, where there the surgeon said, listen, they're going to have to fuse his fingers in a certain position. And so Artis got to choose. And so what did Artis do? He went and he got a goalie hockey stick. And he put it in his hand and he conformed it to his hand. And he said, Doc, I want you to conform my hand, fuse it so I can hold a hockey stick. And so Artis had his hand formed like this, formed and fashioned in a certain way. Why? Because Artis knew he was a man called on a mission, and his life was going to conform, and it was going to actually reflect the mission that he had for his life. And I want you to know this, that today, that you need a mindset that reflects God's mission for your life. Do you know that Romans chapter 12, it's going to say this, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's saying to you need to think differently. And so here's the mindset that I want to leave for you today. Like the big idea of everything we're going to talk about is this. Wherever you go, you bring the kingdom of God with you. That is your mindset. Not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to understand, to think differently, that wherever you go, you bring the kingdom of God with you. If you don't believe me, let me just unpack a little bit of the book of Genesis for you. If you go back to Genesis 1 or 2, we get the great creation narrative. Well, this amazing, loving God, that he creates everything it is, and it's good, it's good, it's good, until he gets to humanity. He says it's very good, and then he places them, Adam and Eve, in a garden. And in this garden called Eden, exists what's just called shalom, perfect peace, that there's nothing broken, nothing lacking, that we see that that God walks with humanity, and that the man and the woman and humanity walks together without shame, without sin. And so it's called shalom. But see, what happens is that you and I, we were created for Eden. Eden was the place where heaven and earth were knit together. And you and I were created for Eden. If you don't believe me, like, just think about when things just come undone in your life or in the world, where there's death, there's disease, there's hatred. Isn't there something inside of you that just screams, it shouldn't be this way? It shouldn't be this way. Why? Because you were made for Eden. Like, or I can even go the flip side, when things are amazing in your life and in your world, when you have money in the bank, that you're healthy, there's joy. But yet, despite everything going right in your life, there still feels like there should be more. There should be something greater than what is. And that's because you were designed for Eden, that place and space where heaven and earth come together and are knit together. And so God forms Adam and Eve, places them in Eden, and God gives Adam and Eve a mission. He says, I want you to make the rest of the world look like Eden. So he says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. That wherever they went, they were to bring the kingdom of God with them and advance the kingdom. But unfortunately, we know our story goes very, very bad. Genesis chapter 3, sin enters the cosmos. Adam and Eve sin against God, and suddenly heaven and earth, there's this cosmic rip that they're torn apart, and sin enters our world, and Adam and Eve are thrust from the presence of God. And so, but if you're familiar with the story, and we've talked about this, that God in his rich mercy, he creates these clean spaces whereby by the blood of an innocent one, a sacrifice of a guiltless, pure lamb, that God would make provision where he could once again meet with his people. And so we would see this present in your Old Testament in the Ark of the Covenant. And then later in the temple, there'd be these clean spaces where man could meet with Almighty God. And so this went on like this for thousands of years until finally one man, that he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And this young rabbi came out of the wilderness of temptation, and he says these words, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom had come. And this Jesus, he lives this perfect life in alignment, obedience with God, his heavenly Father. And what would he do? He would go to the cross on our behalf, the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. On the third day, he would raise from the dead. But that's an Easter message, and that's coming up in a few weeks. Just a reminder, all right? And then after Jesus raises from the dead, he gathers his 12 disciples with him. And in John, in the book of John, I believe it's chapter 20, Jesus does something rather odd. It says he breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. That suddenly the Spirit of God, that the heavenly Spirit of God meets in a human being. They're knit together by the miracle of the cross of Christ. Paul would later on say this, that you and I, that we're a temple, that we are the temple where God meets with us now. And so our mindset has always got to be, wherever I go, I bring the kingdom of God with me. And so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. Looking at verses 16 through 20, should be a very familiar passage of scripture. And in it, so we're going to read and then pray, and then we're going to break it down a bit. And so Matthew 28, starting in verse 16, it reads like this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Kind of an odd verse, right? It says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, Lord, I pray that you'd give us grace in our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take a little time out and get a little, no coffee this morning. We're going with a little bubbly. I don't know if it's boobly or bubbly, whatever, but it's delicious. And let's get into our word. So I want to just break down and highlight a few things. And remember that our mindset has to be that you're bringing the kingdom of God with you. And so in our text, we read that there were 11 disciples called out and sent out on a mission. Did you know that you, if you know Jesus Christ this morning, that you, Every Nation New Jersey, have been sent out in a mission? That the very word church, it's the word ekklesia in the Greek. It's ek meaning out, ecclesia, it means to call. And so that you and I, the church, we are the ones that have been called out onto God's mission of what? Building and advancing the kingdom of God in the earth. But if you're familiar with our story, you know that he spoke to 11 disciples, but there should have been 12, shouldn't there? And who was missing? You guessed it. Yeah, our boy Judas. And so I was sharing with our staff this week that Judas was an interesting character. Like the name, there's several Judases in the scripture. It was an unbelievably popular name back in the first century. And the reason why it was so popular is back in 167 BC that we have, there's this great hero of the Jewish people. His name was Judas Maccabeus. His nickname was the Hammer. Come on, man. Wait, like that's a cool nickname. I get PA, all right? But it was Judas Maccabeus, and he was the Hammer. And the reason why he was so famous is he was the Braveheart before Braveheart, that he actually would deliver Israel from the oppression of the Seleucid Empire. And for this brief moment in time, he would militarily give them freedom, right? And so he was a hero to the Jewish people. And so guys, they'd want to name their kids Judas. And so Judas, I'm sure, had a big vision for his life and wanted to help rescue Israel, God's chosen ones, from Roman oppression. But how many know, and we said this earlier, that you can't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And instead, he was deformed by the pattern of the world. And what? He did a money grab. The scripture's clear that he was stealing from the disciples' money. And what? He did a power grab. Like Jesus wasn't the mighty militant Messiah that he was looking for. So what does he do? He sold them out for 30 pieces of silver. And I was trying to Google, like, how much is 30 pieces of silver worth today? And they say it's anywhere between $600 and $6,000. But does it really matter? Like, what price are you willing to give to sell out the Son of God and your very soul? There's no price worth that. And so, but listen, while we all know Judas's story, can I just shoot you straight this morning? Like, you might be new to Christianity, that you know that the 11 disciples, they weren't much better. They really weren't. If you look at them, like Jesus's chosen men, they were a hot mess. Like, I guarantee you, if we were looking for a staff position at our church, they wouldn't make the cut. And so let me just unpack some of these, some of the 11. One was Simon. He was called the Zealot. And if you don't know what a zealot is, it was a militant Jewish extremist that wanted to, overthrow Rome militarily in a coup. And so this guy, he would have been loud, passionate, opinionated. And I promise you, if you fell on the opposite side of the aisle as Simon the Zealot, that he would definitely get on your nerves, okay? That there was James the Less. So he's on the opposite end of the spectrum. He was called James the Less because we just don't know much about him. So I'm guessing he was very much an introvert, very quiet. He preferred to be in the background. Here's another one. We know our boy Peter. Remember Peter, the Apostle Peter. He was this ready, fire, aim guy. Didn't think anything through, right? And he would constantly put his foot in his mouth. But then how about the opposite end of spectrum is this, that there was Thomas. Remember doubting Thomas? Now, Thomas was a guy who questioned everything. He was skeptical. Whoa, let's go slow, all right? And so we see these divergent characters and natures. We get Matthew, who is a tax collector, that he was a wicked, sinful man until Jesus got a hold of him. And yet then you get Nathaniel, that he was kind of a goody-goody. Jesus looked at him and says, wow, this is an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And so we see all these different types of people that God uses, and yet that they were sent on a mission. And because their mindset was to obey Jesus and to go into all the world, that they were successful and fulfilled their mission. Peter goes to Rome. James goes to Judea. John to Ephesus. Andrew goes to Greece. Thomas goes to India. Matthew to Ethiopia. Simon to Lebanon. Bartholomew till Armenia, that James goes to Jerusalem, that Philip goes to Turkey. We get Judas, not Judas Iscariot, he goes to Mesopotamia. And where does Judas Iscariot go? Well, I think you all know where he goes. He goes someplace that none of us want to go to, and that was to hell, right? Why? Because he didn't submit himself. He didn't have the mindset, conformed himself to the pattern of this world, and it cost him everything. But 11 men, 11 very ordinary men, they had this mindset that they weren't going to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but they chose to be transformed. And they had this mindset, what? That wherever I go, I bring the kingdom of God with me, and so do you. And so we read here that Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. That it's important, like when you read this, like the word go there, we instantly get in our mind, yeah, we got to be like the disciples. We got to go on missions trips and do this. Do you know that the word go there, it's a passive go. It could more literally be read, while going, make disciples. And you ask yourself, why going where? While going wherever you're going. While going to work, make disciples. While going to Walmart, make disciples. While going to school, make disciples. See, all of it is a part of God's plan. Your going is a part of God's great mission for your life. And wherever you go, you're bringing the kingdom of God with you. See, everything you do and everywhere you go, it becomes holy. It becomes sacred. Why? Because you're there. And where you're there, you bring the kingdom of God with you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it reads like this, that Paul says this, for we are his workmanship. Underline that word. We'll talk about that. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so that word workmanship, it's the word poema. It's where we get the word poetry. It means that it's been crafted, fine-tuned, and knit together. And so Paul's saying this, that you're Jesus's workmanship, that you've been fine-tuned and you've been uniquely designed to uniquely display the kingdom of God through your life. So as I think about our church, And we think about just how many different types of people there are at our church. Like, some of you are artistic and creative, and I don't understand you, okay? But God is uniquely designed. You're his workmanship, uniquely designed to display the kingdom of God. Like, some of you are linear, and you got to think everything out, and I love you. You're my people, all right? But listen, you've been uniquely designed by God to display the kingdom of God in the earth. Like, some of you are athletic, and listen, some of you aren't. Some of you are brilliant, and guess what? Some of us aren't, okay? But no matter how you've been wired, however Jesus formed and fashioned you, that you've been uniquely designed to display God's kingdom in the earth. And so the Johann Sebastian Bach, the great composer, so God wired him creative and artistic. And so whenever he would write a musical score, that Bach would write these letters, SDG. And it's Latin for to God be the glory. See, Bach knew this. He said, when I'm creating and when I'm doing, it's all about the glory of Almighty God. And so however you're wired, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, you're bringing the kingdom of God with you. Maybe if Bach's not your cup of tea, I just even remember our guy, LeBron James. So how many know that LeBron, he's getting closer to GOAT status. He's not there yet. All right. We all know Jordan is. And if you're not, you could be under church discipline if you don't believe that. And so, but I remember one time LeBron James, the chosen one. I don't know if you recall that he's got the chosen one tattooed on his back. And I don't know if he realizes this, that he has been chosen to bring glory to God through his athleticism. And so I remember he was playing a game and he did this ridiculous dunk, and they interviewed him after the game. And they're like, LeBron, have you been practicing that? And he just had to stop and pause, and he goes, no. He says, that was just God. So I so appreciated his honesty. See, because I don't know if he knows it or not, but he was displaying the glory of God through his life. And so there's a Hebrew word. It occurs 289 times in your Old Testament. And it's this word, Adova. Adova. And Adova, it's the same word for work and worship. I don't know if you know that, but work and worship, it's the same word, Adova. And I think that's so important because your work is worship unto Almighty God. There's no separation in God's eyes because wherever you go and whatever you're doing, you're bringing the kingdom of God with you. And so you might be a Starbucks barista. If so, I could use a little discount. All right. But if you're a Starbucks barista, then you know what you need to do? You better be frothing that milk to the glory of God. And you better be getting the names on the cup correct. Okay. I love Dr. Martin Luther King, that Dr. King, he said that if you're a street sweeper, then you need to sweep the streets in such a way that heaven and earth has to stop and they have to say, now there goes a great street sweeper. And so it's with all that. Why? Because you're representing the King and his kingdom wherever you go. And whatever you're doing, whether it feels great or small in your eyes, it's about the glory of God and the kingdom of God. Paul will say it different in Colossians. He'll say this, whatever you do it heartily, as for the Lord and not unto men. Why? Because work, it's worship. It's about bringing the kingdom to your 9-to-5. Ephesians 2:10, remember, it also says this, that Jesus has prepared good works for you and I to walk in. Like he's preordained, foreordained that there's these good works that we would do. In other words, that Jesus would say, you and I, we've been sent out with the kingdom of God within us, and wherever we go, things should be better. I hate slash love Kim Farley's part of our church. Kim, I hope you're checking us out here this morning. And Kim, we were just talking and he was like saying, hey, you know what really drives me crazy? He says, when people don't put their shopping carts back at the grocery store. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I never do that. And then I remember I went to the grocery store and I was just going to leave my cart out there by the car. And sure enough, the Spirit of God got a hold of me. And he's like, you know, see this parking lot? It should be better because you're in it. And now I'm tormented. Every time I go to the grocery store, I gotta put a few carts back. Why? Because where I go, I bring the kingdom of God with me. And where we go, things should get better, right? And so Acts chapter 17, verse 26 through 27, it's going to display this idea of the passive going of God's church, of God sending us out. Acts 17, verse 26 through 27, it says this, and he being Jesus or Almighty God, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. And so what Paul is saying here is that where you live, what you do, it's not some cosmic accident, but God is determined. It's actually a divine sending of Almighty God. And so like my hockey career took me all kinds of places. Places I could never imagine, but you know what? They were no accident, but they were designed by God that the kingdom of God would come with me wherever I went. So I remember I moved away from home at 16 years old, up to North Bay, Ontario. What's up, North Bay? And up to North Bay, Ontario. And I was a new Christian, and I felt like I was failing a lot in my faith. That I was trying to live for the kingdom, but I was just kind of losing a lot. So my prayer life looked a little bit like this. God, forgive me for doing that. I'll never do it again. And then my next prayer would be, Lord, I did it again. Forgive me this time. I mean it. And over and over and over. And I felt like that was my life at the time, failing a lot. But yet, God would take my poor, pathetic witness And how about this? He would use it to bring the kingdom of God to people. Like it would affect some of my teammates. Here's another one. Do you know this? My coach, he was a very scary man. He was terrifying to me. He was tough. I felt at times he was mean, you know, unfair. But I respected him as a coach. And so I had to just, I'm trying to live my life before him and get this. Later on, I would read and find out that my old coach, that he would come to know Jesus Christ. In fact, he would be known throughout the junior leagues that he never took a road trip without bringing his Bible and reading it on the bus. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I believe Saul of Tarsus becoming Paul, I believe that. But my old coach becoming a Jesus guy, blew my mind. And so, but see, God was going to use me as part of his kingdom purposes. Oh, did I mention this? That there was a girl, her name was Susan Scott. She would become a Christian and she would also become my wife. And so through my poor, pathetic witness, failing an awful lot, God would use it and do something amazing. I would be drafted and moved from North Bay to the Hartford Whalers. I was supposed to be drafted by the St. Louis Blues, but they passed on me. And now I know it's because what? Divine design. Because God's like, nope, Adam's not going to St. Louis. He's going to Hartford, because God determines where we live and what we do. And it was there that I began to get established in the National Hockey League. And so suddenly I had a platform that I could use pro sports as a way to bring glory to God in the earth. And I started doing these hockey camps. They were called Hockey Ministries International. And so what it is it would be hockey camps where kids would go for like 4 or 5 days, and we would train them how to play hockey. And then in the evenings, we would share Bible studies with them and share testimonies. But I'm still new and I'm still kind of nervous. And like, here I am, this established NHL player, but I'm terrified to speak in front of crowds. Anyone else out there? If you had the choice to be speak in front of a crowd or die, you would choose death. Well, that was me. And so Hockey Ministries International, they're like, hey, Adam, we want you to share your testimony with these kids that range from like 7 to 12 years old. And I'm like, nope. Well, no, really, you got to share your faith. I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. And so they actually had to do a Q&A session with me in order to kind of pull out the gospel. And as weak and as ashamed I am of saying that, guess what? Kids came to Christ through that. Like, God used that pathetic witness once again to do something amazing. Later on, I would be, the team would relocate from Hartford to Raleigh, North Carolina. But now we know, if Acts 17 is true, it wasn't because the economy was struggling in Hartford, but rather that it was the kingdom, divine, cosmic purpose of God. Because why? He knew that I had a mission down in Raleigh, North Carolina. And so the team moves down to Raleigh. I'm starting to grow now, becoming more confident in my faith. I'm maturing in my faith. And it's so funny. So I had the courage. I'm like, I'm going to invite guys to a Bible study at my home. And so I invite my teammates, some of which were Christians. And so they came, and I had this really overzealous athletic ministry called Champions for Christ. And some of their leaders, they came in, and I thought we had an amazing Bible study. But I was the only one. All my other teammates were like, I never want to do that again. Sorry, not interested. It freaked them all out. And I was like, that was amazing. And so what happened is, though, that night I met a man. His name was Ron Lewis. He would later become Pastor Ron Lewis to me. And he would be my pastor, mentor, and he would begin to disciple me. He would train me how to share my testimony with other people. And I remember he would make me do things I didn't want to do. And so he would take me to the campuses, to UNC, to Duke. I remember one night he took me to NC State, and I'm supposed to share my testimony. So I shared my testimony. I'm like, good, that's over with. Still kind of get like nervous doing it. And so after I shared my testimony, he gave an altar call to get people saved. And then he says, how many of you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I thought, wow, he's just going full bore today. Good for you, Pastor Ron. And then he goes, well, for those of you that want to receive the Holy Spirit, you need to go see Adam, and Adam's going to get you baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm like, what? I'm like, you're the pro. I don't know what I'm doing. And so he would constantly throw me into uncomfortable situations. And so I remember this guy came up. To this day, I'll never forget it. He had a big cowboy hat on and this giant bedazzled belt buckle. Pastor Dottie, you would have loved it. This huge belt buckle. And he came up and this college student wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have no idea what I'm doing. And so I'm like, so do you want him? Yes. Yeah? Then just close your eyes and say, I want you. Amen. Go sit down, right? And here's the crazy thing. It was clumsy. It was awkward. And you know what's amazing? God honored it. And God moved mightily in those students' lives. And so move it from Carolina. Get traded up to Philadelphia, to the Philadelphia Flyers. But I'm not there because Philadelphia needed another defenseman. We know this, that I'm on assignment. I've been sent to Philadelphia by Almighty God. And so I'm there. When I arrived to the team, there was a young woman who was the national anthem singer. She was quite famous in Philadelphia. For the record, whoever named Philadelphia, Philadelphia, like the city of brotherly love, has obviously never been there, because they are an intense group of people. You can put amen in the chat box for that one. But I love my time in Philippines, in Philadelphia. And so this young woman, Lauren Hart, to this day, she still sings the national anthem for all the Flyer games. And she was battling with cancer. And so I remember hearing her story. And so I asked, I pulled a couple strings in order to get her number. And I was able just to contact her and just be, hey, like, Lauren, you don't know me. You know, I play for the Flyers. We've never actually met. But I heard about your situation. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And Jesus has a great plan for your life. And we began to pray. And I could tell, like something was different for her. Like a stranger that would reach out with the love of Jesus Christ. And it meant something to her. And by the grace of God, you know, she recovered and is doing amazing, still singing great. But God used me. How about this? That later on, the Philadelphia Eagles, I would befriend a couple of the Philadelphia Eagles, the football team in town, and I would partner with the Champions for Christ group, and we started a few Bible studies that I would help out with some of the Eagles players. Well, in fact, I got real friendly with one of the Philadelphia Eagles, and we had him come live at our home. And so I have just daughters. I don't have any sons. And God gave me a son, a 300-pound defensive lineman. And his name was Paul Grassmanis. Get this. He was a Notre Dame alumni. So for those of you that don't know, like, my favorite team is whoever's playing against Notre Dame. Despise Notre Dame. And yet, how ironic is it in the economy of God that God would put someone from Michigan and Notre Dame together like that, right? And so Paul would come live with us. But here's what's the amazing story. Through just some faithful little Bible studies, do you know that years later, through that Bible study, a church would be planted there. In Every Nation Church, it would be called, now it's called Freedom Church. I believe well over 800 people meet there now. And so why? It was just in the cosmic plan of Almighty God. Last move, I was signed as a free agent and was moved to Atlanta. I'm on the tail end, the downward of my career. But you know what? There's some really freeing things when you get old. Listen, I know now I'm just like turning gray and all this stuff. You know, when you're past 50, it's amazing because you get a license to do stuff you could never do because you just don't care what people think. So I find myself now going to the grocery store wearing my slippers. But people just look at you and they're like, oh, yeah, he's old, you know. So you get a free pass because you just don't care. And later in my career, it was like, hey, man, I am the full, I'm the all on Jesus guy, and all my teammates and everyone knew that I was the Jesus guy. And great story. One of my teammates was this guy named Darcy Hordachuk, and he was a tough guy. And I still remember this game. We were playing against the Chicago Blackhawks, and they had this world-renowned tough guy by the name of Bob Probert, and they were beating us bad until Darcy challenged Bob Probert to a fight at center ice, and they dropped the gloves. And there's just a hush in the building, and these two go at it. And Bob Probert is just giving this young kid Darcy the goal. He's just working him with punches until finally something happens and something snaps in Darcy. And he just begins, he lands this one huge punch and he hits this Bob Probert and he buckles him. And there was a collective gasp in the arena. And suddenly all this momentum had changed. And right away I knew, I want to know that kid better. And so Darcy, and for those of you that are offended because they're fighting, how many know the Bible says it's better to give than to receive? Okay. And so Darcy, while he was tough on the ice, he was still young and new to the team. And so my wife and I, we invited him to come stay at our home and he could live with us. And so Darcy would come to know Jesus. That Darcy, we'd get to baptize him in my bathtub. Can you imagine this 6-foot guy? You're trying to like jam him in to get him under the water. And so we baptized Darcy in my home. And then probably the coolest part for me, like I thought my career was over, but God was like, nope, your career might be over, but you're not done yet in Atlanta. And so there was a guy who I became, it was a sports nutrition rep. His name was John, and we became friendly, and we'd just go to Starbucks sometimes. But if I'm going to shoot you straight, like listen, I am not a good evangelist. I can teach the Bible all day, but I am not a good evangelist. But that doesn't mean I'm not supposed to do it, because Paul says we're to do the work of an evangelist. And so you want to see somebody doing evangelism, you look at Pastor Dottie. She's lights out great. And so I'm at Atlanta with John, and I invite him. And here's the thing. He doesn't know Jesus yet. And so I sit with him and I lie / tell a half truth. What I told him is I'm taking a course and I need you to go through this booklet with me. And what it was an evangelism tool called the 2-question test. It's do you know, or do you think if you were to die tonight that you would go to heaven? And then the follow-up question is why or why not? And then it opens all these doors to be able to share the gospel with them. And we went through all this pamphlet, and I'm just struggling through reading this pamphlet to him until finally we get to the end, and I asked him, would you like to pray the prayer of salvation? And he said yes. And listen, I had never won someone to the Lord before, and this was this epic moment. I think I was more excited that he was receiving Jesus than he was receiving Jesus. But get this. Then years later, I would lose track of John, and but I'd get a phone call from his wife, and she told me this, that John had passed away in his sleep. He was an unbelievably young guy, but he passed away in his sleep. And I just remember this moment of gratitude, knowing this, that God would allow me to work and be a part of his work in eternal salvation for that man. And so listen, sorry to take you through all my travels in the NHL. And you know, as I was thinking back of all the things, you know, I have so many cool memories of hockey that I'll remember for the rest of my life. But do you know what? See, it's the stuff we do for the kingdom of God that I'm going to remember for eternity. All right? And so this mindset needs to be in us, that wherever you go, that whatever you do, you're bringing the kingdom of God with you. And lives are going to change because you're there. That situations and places are going to be better because you're there. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we could gather together this morning. Lord, I just believe that you are calling people onto their life's mission. Lord, that even now, Lord, that you're beginning to connect the dots in their heart and in their life. Father, I pray when they leave their home and they just do what they do, I pray, Lord, that you'd give them eyes to see, Lord, the divine appointments all around them. And so we thank you that you would use your people to absolutely turn the world upside down, or should I say right side up. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, the sermon's over, but we're not quite done yet. If you need prayer or counsel or ministry of any kind, we have our virtual ministry call. We just call it virtual Zoom ministry, and there should be a slide coming up on your screen with our virtual Zoom conference call number. It begins at 11 a.m. A pastor will be available to pray with you, counsel you, whatever you may need. And as well, I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. If you're not familiar with the tithe, this a tithe, it just means a tenth. And we believe here that, the tenth of all of our income, it goes back to God as a form of worship and obedience. And we do believe this, that as we are faithful in the tithe, that God is faithful to bless us. And so we believe that. And so there's three ways that you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via PushPay. My family and I, we give this way. Unbelievably simple way to do it. And you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. And lastly, you could mail in your tithe, your offering, or your gift to 101 Gibraltar Drive right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And so before we leave, I want you to know this. God loves you, and He has a great plan, a mission for your life. And guess what? I think you're pretty great too. All right? Have a great week.
Get up. Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.